Praise the Lord. The next couple weeks, I'm going to share some things flowing with the birth of Christ, some biblical principles that are revealed. And sometimes people more just look at a story. Christmas has a story instead of an account of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And our principles that we need to learn from this as well. So we'll be focusing on that. But we're going to begin today looking at Matthew chapter 2. We have the account here of the wise men from the east, the Magi. And it says, beginning around verse 1, they saw the star. They knew things by the stars. Now, we don't follow that so much anymore, but up until in the 1900s, navigation was done by the stars. There's a whole science to that, and I'm not very well versed in that. Some people have a fascination with that and study it. I had a pastor friend who had a big telescope at his house, and he could tell you all about all that stuff. That's called astronomy. Of course, Satan perverts everything. There's a perversion, and he gets into zodiac, fortune telling, and all that with the stars. But that being said, there is a reality that things were known by the stars. And these men were called wise men in that they understood the science of the stars. Again, there's a whole science to that, just like there's other various sciences, and you would be wise or deemed you have wisdom if you understand a science of a particular thing. So they had that understanding, and that there would be a star that would signal or be a sign that the Messiah was come to the world. They understood that. How all they understood that, I don't know, but it's obvious they do understand that. And they saw the star, and it's referred to as a star of Bethlehem, star of Jesus. And I know in doing some research and some reading, there's different theories of what that was. Was it certain planet alignment? Was it a comet? Was it a new star appeared, a nova? And from reading I've done, your scientist people aren't all conclusive on that. But in any case, they were looking for something, and they knew that as a sign because they knew the science of that, and they followed the star because they were God-fearing, God-honoring men, and they wanted to come to worship the Messiah, the Savior, when he would come to the earth. So they took various things as gifts in worship, which an expression of love is the giving of a gift. Now, people, give gifts at Christmas, but really, in principle, you give a gift to express love. So in coming to the Lord, we give ourselves to him. That's the greatest thing you can give. We bring tithes and offerings to him. That's part of loving God, by the way. Covetous people have trouble with that, but it's part of loving God. Something that I find gift giving's different in our culture here than in some places would, whenever I would go to like Ukraine, or if I would go to India, Sri Lanka, all of those places, they will insist they're going to give me a gift before I leave because they were appreciative of what I gave them and they feel compelled to give a gift to me. So, many times it'd be like something artistic or painting or an article of clothing or something like that. But they would always give me something. And it strikes me when that happens because we don't think that way so much. We think, well, I'll take you out to the best restaurant in town. I'll take you out to eat. That's more how we think. We'll give you food here. But anyway, any case, the offering of a gift is an expression of appreciation and love. So the wise man wanted to honor God by giving a gift to the Son of God, born as a babe. So in Matthew 2, we see that they followed that star, and God was leading them that way. Now, we want to endeavor to be led by the Spirit, Him witnessing to our spirit. We're led by God, by His Word, commanding us to do certain things. There's various ways God might lead us. He might have a prophetic word, or He may have a vision or a dream. But He wants to lead us, and He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, as it says in Psalm 23, or to walk right, to do His will, whereby we would bring glory to God. He'll lead you in the right path. And at this point, the Magi, these wise men, they're coming from the east. So it would have been like what we would call Iraq or Iran today. Somewhere in that part of the world is where they came from. And they came, and they're purposing to offer a gift, to offer a gift to the Messiah. Now, I'll just put a little commercial in here for a moment. I recommend you watch the movie called The Fourth Wise Man. Anyone ever seen that movie? That's a pretty awesome movie. And it's about this guy who was, he was the fourth wise man. And he missed going with the other three to see Jesus. And he kept missing Jesus along the way, but he ends up selling everything he has to give to the Lord, to give to enable this leper colony to get food. Anyway, at the end, the Lord appears to him and says, as you did minister to them, you minister to me. Because he was crying, you know, I missed you. I didn't get to give you these gifts. And Jesus is saying, you did give to me by ministering to the poor, by helping these lepers. So I told you the end of it's about half. So maybe I just ruined it for you. But anyway, it's an older movie, but it's really powerful. You think about that, ministering to the Lord. You know, whatever you're doing at Christmas should be about the Lord and not human traditions of men, not about flesh, and not about spoiling your kids. That's a form of idolatry, but it should be about Him primarily. Now, it's not necessarily wrong to have some traditions. That's not necessarily wrong. But when that's preeminent over just Him, then that's what makes it wrong. Okay, well, moving on. The wise men, they come into Jerusalem, they follow the star, and they're all excited because they know they're getting close, that the Messiah is born. They begin to talk about this, and Herod hears about it. And this is all Matthew chapter 2. And he's like, has a fury rise up in him because they're saying the King of the Jews has been born. And there's no king but Him in his mind. So he tells these wise men, well, go and find Him and come back and tell me where He is. His intention of his heart was to kill Jesus. So as they go, the Spirit of God brings a warning to them. Okay, they come to Jesus, they find Him, they give the gifts to Him, they worship Him. And the Spirit of God gives a warning to the wise men. Don't go back, but go another way. Herod wants to kill the Messiah. He wants to kill the babe. So they had a supernatural warning. And that's what I want to address here, is prophetic warnings by the Spirit. God, in His love, warns us of danger. He then warned Joseph not to go back, but to depart for Egypt, to Egypt. He warns him in a dream to go to Egypt because Herod wants to kill them. So again, we have another warning, And then after he hears Herod dies, he's about to come back to Jerusalem. And again, a warning from God comes because Herod's son, Archelaus, would also want to carry out the will of his father and kill the Messiah. So he goes to Galilee, which was a place where Jews avoided. There were Jews there, but it was like looked down upon. And he goes to Galilee and grows up in rather obscurity in Galilee and protected. So we see these three warnings here to the wise men and to Joseph. We see these warnings from the Spirit of danger or a threat that would be made on the life of the young Christ. So God warned them. Now, one of the things we'll see, I'll maybe get into more next week, is the prophetic promises being fulfilled. Because through the account of the birth of Christ or the coming of the Lord, through those accounts, over and over, certain prophetic things were being fulfilled. It'll be that way when he returns. There are certain prophetic signs that have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled and are going to be fulfilled before the Lord returns to take up his church, take up his people, and to bring judgment on Satan, his demons, and on all those who follow Satan or the world. Judgment will come. But there are certain signs that will come. You don't know the day or the hour, but you can see the signs. So as with his first coming, there were certain prophecies where these things were prophesied ahead, whereby they could have known it was the Christ. When we see the signs of his coming, we can know his coming's near so that we are prepared and that we would walk in the way that we should prior to the coming of the Lord, which in a nutshell, we're to stay full of the Holy Ghost and to do the work he would have us to do. That's putting up in a little summary nutshell. Why was he want you to know ahead? So you stay full of the Holy Ghost and guard your heart and would accomplish all the purpose of God for your life. When your purpose is fulfilled, then it's time to go. There's no reason to be here any longer. But there's an assignment that's been given to you and purpose that you can only do by the power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we must abide in him and stay full of the Spirit of God. Okay, so prophetic warnings were given, and that is love. Now, when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, one of the things that said, he gave principles of prayer, not a prayer to pray. That's what religion does. Oh, I recite this prayer. But rather, pray this way. He's speaking of the principles to prayer. And at one point he says, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Lead us. Well, God wants to lead you by his Spirit to do his will and for his glory. But he leads us away from the work of the enemy or his temptation. You know, someone was an alcoholic and they suddenly feel this unction to go into a bar and they deceive themselves and say, I'm going to go in there and witness. And they're an alcoholic. Now, you have to understand the power that can have on someone. I don't believe that's the Holy Spirit leading you. He's not going to lead you into temptation. He's going to lead you away from it. He's going to say, get out of here. Get out of here. Get away from this. Get away from, or someone comes into their presence and are carrying a bottle of wine or something like that. The Holy Spirit's leading would probably be, just go home. Just leave. Yeah, don't make a big scene. Just leave. He'll lead you away from temptation. If things bring you into temptation, that's the flesh and or the devil leading you. The devil will lead you into temptation. God will lead you away from it. To lead you away from temptation is to lead you into his commandments, to lead you into his will being fulfilled and accomplished in your life. So sometimes people will take the phrase, well, I'm feeling led, and to justify doing what they want to do, and they just cover it up saying, well, I think God's leading me. Well, you can judge that by the fruit it's going to produce, and by the fruit it is producing in you and has produced. Brother Buddy Bell, who taught on the ministry of helps, said something. So he was a comical guy, and he carried this like lead, like a fisherman would use, put on his line, sinker. He'd carry that around, say, because a lot of Christians say, well, I don't feel led to serve in a nursery. I don't feel led to help clean a church. I don't feel led to do this or that. So he'd say, give me your hand. And he'd pull out his pocket, piece of lead, put it in there. He said, feel some lead. But his point was, you don't have to be led to serve. You don't have to be led to walk in love. God commands us to do those things. You see a need, offer to help meet that need. It's real simple. Well, the Spirit of God will warn us of danger, and that is a part of his deliverance. Now, he'll deliver you, possibly, if Satan has a grip on you. The breaking of Satan's power or grip could be called deliverance. But then there is also the deliverance from evil, where he keeps you out of it. Now, I remember as a younger Christian, you would hear, there were certain, as the television ministry was really becoming more prominent, and ministries like PTL and 700 Club, they would have people share testimony. And a lot of times the testimonies you'd hear are somebody, they were a drug addict, and they murdered people, and they did this and this and that, and all this horrible stuff. And they'd take all this time saying all the horrible stuff they did, and then they would say that the Lord delivered them. And the way that would hit some people was, well, I didn't do anything bad. I guess I don't have that much of a testimony. And they'd feel like second-rate Christians. That's wrong. You have a testimony even better. God delivered you from ever getting into all that junk. Maybe it was through the influence of godly parents, or you took heed to the word as a young person, and you stayed away from those things. You stayed away from a party scene, or stay away from violence or drunkenness or whatever it might have been. You were kept out of it. You were led away from that by being led into the right thing, and you were delivered because you took heed to a warning. You know, there are many, many, many people who end up as like an alcoholic or drug addict who grew up in a church and heard warnings. They heard warnings. Don't go. Don't do drugs. It'll destroy your life. I've seen over the years different people where I personally warned them of that. When we had our own high school, and I was ministering to the high school students. And some of them did not take heed to the warning. They didn't hear what the Spirit of God was saying to them and end up doing drugs or alcohol or sex with whatever moves or whatever. And they end up in that place. But they had a warning. God is just. He loves you. Warnings come because you love someone, not because you want to keep them from having fun. Because you know the danger. A child needs a lot of warnings because they're not yet able to perceive what could harm them and what would be dangerous to them. We have many warnings in life. I remember in Nigeria one time, we were riding down a road fast, speeding down a highway, and we're going down through, and I saw a sign on the side of the road. It was a skull and bones. I thought, well, that's interesting. Why is there a skull and bones sign along the side of the road? Well, praise God, the driver saw the sign, and he knew what it meant. Now, we're flying down through there fast, and he slams the brakes, and we get up, and here there was a heavy rain washed the road out, and it was probably like a 10-foot drop, 8 to 10-foot drop, where the road was not there. It's like a huge gully. It was just recently just washed away. That was a warning. Somebody had the presence of mind to put that warning up there skull and bones. You know, we might have like a stop sign, a railroad crossing sign. They had a skull and bones. And there's danger on the road up ahead. And they took heed to it. Had they not taken heed, we would have crashed and been killed. We went flying off of that right in, you know, into the rocky bank. So many warnings in life. You know, our government came to a certain point, like say with cigarettes, they had to put a warning on the pack. This could kill you. I don't really know the exact wording of it because I don't smoke. I don't buy them. But I mean, they forced them to put that on there. Yet how many people smoke, they see that warning, this could kill you, and they do it anyway. Because they're not taking heed to a warning. Now, are they thinking the Surgeon General doesn't know what he's talking about? He doesn't know anything? Or do statistics lie? All the people would die from that? So people don't take heed. You know, you could have household cleaning products. You know, do not ingest. There's a warning on there. You have with, it's kind of interesting. A few years ago, your pharmaceuticals started advertising heavy on television, and are required by law to give warnings of the side effects. And they'll play this nice music, or how ask for this drug, it's going to help you. And at the end, they'll go, all the warnings, how it could kill you. Oh, yeah, doctor, give that to me. It might kill me, give it to me. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. Warnings are love. Now, what we need to recognize is warnings in the Bible, and to know, do I have enough respect for God to take heed to his warnings? Or am I proud? Many times when people are young, when pride begins to emerge in their heart, they won't hear warnings anymore because what they're thinking you're saying is, like, you're dumb, you don't know any better, or you're not strong enough to resist this. And if pride begins to rise in a child, they'll begin to blow off warnings because in their mind, they're wise in their own eyes, as it says in Proverbs chapter 3. Don't be wise in your own eyes. The way you train a child to be wise in their own eyes is to let them make decisions where they shouldn't be making decisions, where they're not in a position to. We have to first learn to submit to the authority of God and him command us as to what to do. But if you just let kids decide everything, now at a certain age, yeah, let them pick out the shirt they're going to wear. But there's a point where, and the Ezra's in their teaching on training up children to be godly, they bring out in there that to a child is willing to have no choice, they're not ready to have a choice. In other words, you're willing to be under authority, understanding that the authority in my life knows better than me. But as they begin to develop a pride, nobody can tell them anything. The person who begins to walk like that has chosen a path of self-destruction. Satan has a lot of years of practice of manipulating people, using their flesh to get them to self-destruct. And if he destroys your life, he's stealing the glory from God because you were created to be fruitful for the glory of God. So if he can bring destruction, he's getting the glory because you're walking in his character of destruction. So we need to have ears to hear warnings, which is love. Paul said in Colossians 1, I think it's verse 28, I didn't cease to teach and to warn you. Then in Acts chapter 20, when Paul gathered the leaders from the city of Ephesus, the first known pastor's meeting, he gathers them and he said, I warned you day and night with tears to beware of those with a wolf spirit trying to draw disciples away unto themselves. He warned them every day because he could see the danger. He could see the danger. Now, if someone says, I have a message today from the Lord. Yeah, preach it, brother. It's a message of warnings. Silence. people don't get excited. Yeah, bring on the warnings, brother. Yeah, preach it. And there are some pastors or evangelist leaders who will not bring the warning of the Lord because they want people to like them. Whether you like me or not, it's irrelevant to me. I need to answer to Jesus Christ, and I need to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Paul said he taught, there in Acts 20, the whole counsel of the Word of God. And that involved warnings. Warnings are a good thing. It's a part of how God delivers us from the evil. And, again, I can just reflect over the years. Times people, you know, they want to, maybe a young person, they want to date. And there's a warning there. You got to beware. You're going to be tempted to have sexual sin. Oh, no, I'm stronger than that. Rah, 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 rah. And they end up, they do it. And the more they do it, the more their flesh begins to crave that. We have to be very, we need to gain wisdom. But before you gain the wisdom, you need to be able to submit to the wisdom from somebody else who has it. Which again, love will bring forth warning. God loved the Magi. Their heart was pure. They wanted to worship the Savior. God loved Joseph and Mary. They were fully committed to carrying out the plan of God, which they were going to have an impartation and bring the provision for the Messiah to grow and mature, because he was God made flesh. He was a man and he was God both. Again, the human mind can't comprehend that. That's one of those things. You have to just take it by faith. You know, there are some people who everything has to be reasoned out. You know, you believe because the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart, the understanding will come later. We'll grow in our understanding all the days of our life. But you receive Christ by faith because he was tugging at your heart. He was convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So there are warnings in the Word of God. We see it with the birth of Christ, and deliverance comes that way. Now, that being said, I want to mention some biblical warnings. Jesus, in Matthew 16, warned his disciples. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they were sort of questioning that. He said, the doctrine or the teaching, or I'm warning you, don't learn their ways. Don't pick up their ways, because their ways were ways of self-righteousness, self-exaltation, ways of pride, judgmental spirit, no mercy. And he said, beware of that. Now, Jesus, in warning them of that, means they could have picked it up. They could have become like that. If something's not a threat to you, you don't need to be warned about it. To my knowledge, there's no cobras outside of the church building here. So you never hear a warning. Watch out for the cobras outside. But when Brother Allen was there in Africa and he's having to use the toilet in the middle of the night, watch out for the snakes. Right? Watch out for those snakes. Good snake's a dead snake in my book. But anyway. Warnings. Now, had they not told him that, he might not have known to do that. Maybe he would have known because he watched a documentary or read a book or something like that, and somebody said, hey, there's venomous snakes that one bite can kill you. But because they knew the area, they knew to tell him, watch out for these snakes every step you take. You know, we were sort of joking, you know, how you're riding down a road in places like that, and you have to go to the bathroom, and there's no bathroom. I mean, in India, many times you pull off the side of the road, and you head for a bush. You hope no little kids are following you, because they will. you get behind the bush, you know, to go. And you hope there's not going to be like a cobra under the bush or by the rock that's under the bush right beside you. Different places in this world have different dangers. Again, here, I mean, you don't have to be concerned about sharks in Muddy Creek. There's no sharks there. But if you're going to the ocean, certain places, certain times, maybe there's sharks present. We don't have lions and bears and stuff here. I mean, every once in a while, a bear will wander down here from the north, but not too often. But in some parts of the world, like say more like in Alaska or someplace, you can encounter a grizzly and they can maul you to death. There could be a wolf, a pack of wolves, and they could kill you. So dangers are ever present. You need to know the dangers of your environment and then be cautious or take heed or walk in wisdom in light of that potential danger. Well, in the spirit, there are dangers. And the Spirit of God is the one who knows what they are. But by the love of God, he will alert us to those things. And there could be times where your life is saved because the Spirit of God saying, don't go to this place. And maybe later you find out there was a bad accident and you would have been going right over the hill at that moment in time where a tractor trailer was being driven by a drunk and would have head on you. So we want to pay attention. Again, pride will close the ears to that type of thing, but pay attention to the warnings that come by the Spirit of God. Jesus warned the disciples in Luke 12:15, he said, beware of covetousness, for your life does not consist in the things that you have. And he gave a parable relative to that. You know, money, excuse me, money can begin to rule your life. If you think it can't, you're deceived already. Money has the power to deceive. And we have to beware or be able to take heed to a warning that we don't end up serving money or compromising values to get it or putting that ahead of knowing and serving God. So he gave that warning. According to the parable of the sower, the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. People get offended. There's warnings about walking in love. You must forgive. It's not an option. Because if we don't forgive, we're going to come into bondage as a result of that offense of unforgiveness. We will be bound to someone else's sin. And we will cut off the flow of the ministry of the Spirit of God, cutting off love, joy, and peace. So there are various warnings throughout the Bible. And many times someone with a prophetic calling is more so used in bringing warnings. But it's not just them. Or if you have a warning, it doesn't make you a prophet. But many times there are warnings that come out. And because something doesn't happen right away, people tend to say, you know, blow it off. You know, warnings about danger. And there are warnings that come to us. In my own life, I make reference at times to the vision of the crossroads where God took me up first Tuesday morning in February of 1986, and Jared was 2 and a half, woke up. I told him, I'll put him back to sleep. I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. He falls asleep. I lay him on the bed, and the Spirit of God comes into the room. And like what Paul said, whether I was in the body or out, I don't know. I was like I blasted off in a rocket, and I saw that crossroads and the vision and people there in distress. And it was 8 months later, I was fasting and praying. God said, I drove right up that intersection, that which I've been speaking to you is the interpretation of that vision. Don't try to conjure some interpretation. God can show you something. That doesn't mean you're going to know what it means for a while. You might and you might not. But don't enter into your own thinking. These people put out books. Here's a book of how to interpret dreams. That is nonsense. Throw it in a burn it. Use it to start a fire in your fireplace. Because that's worthless garbage. The interpretation needs to come by the Spirit of God, by us seeking Him, not some opinions of man about such things. Well, anyway, what he told me, he says, the road to the left, which was downhill, went towards the lake and went away. It was leisure living. The road to the right went up top the hill, building your own. And he put into my heart, went into my spirit. That day it went into my spirit to warn people of leisure living and building their own dreams. Because we need to go through the crossroads, which is by submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which will take us right on through the lake, the water of life. And we all want to experience the very life of God in His fullness. But if we choose one of those other paths, it's going to take us away. We won't get there. And I was pondering this just recently, and it's so grievous in my heart, because there are many, many people have heard me share this and didn't really hear it. I say, why do you say that? Because they did pursue leisure living or just building their own dreams, and those things took them right out of the plan and purpose of God for their life that they confessed to me previously. And usually when people like that leave, they'll never come back. And they haven't even talked to me because they know I'm going to say to them, did you not say this is what God showed you however many years ago? Didn't you say, and it was borne witness to by me, by you, and by other people, that that was the plan of God for your life, but you've left that. No, they don't come talk to me. Because they know I live by what I know God's told me. My whole life's based upon it. The things that I know He said. You begin with what His Word says to you as a believer. But then it begins over the course of time as you're seeking Him. Some people might say, well, He hadn't talked to me that way. Why are you seeking Him? If you don't seek Him, you're not going to hear those things. But when our hearts, God, I want to please You. I want to know You. And that's the dominant thought. He's going to begin to reveal things step by step. And His plan, His purpose will deliver you from evil. He'll deliver you out away from temptation. He'll lead you in a path of righteousness for His name's sake, that your life would be fruitful for the glory of God. Warnings by the Spirit of God. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. You know, sometimes parents feel like the proverbial broken record. Keep saying something over and over. But you have to, because of love. You can't just watch someone destroy themselves and not try to warn them. Say, hey, stop, stop. That's destruction. Stop, stop. If someone doesn't have ears to hear, they're not going to hear. But we still need to bring the warning. God spoke to Ezekiel about that, referring to him as a watchman. And he needed to bring the prophetic warnings to them. Again, it's the love of God. Well, for us, there's things in the Scripture that are warnings. And we need to beware of getting caught up in the pursuit of money and pleasure, because according to parables over, it will choke the word. But as we keep a heart open before the Lord, willing to hear Him, He will lead us in that right path, and we will be fruitful for the glory of God. So I just felt inspired to bring this word out to us today. Yeah, it's not your typical Christmas message thing. Little baby in a manger story. But it's part of the story. They had to fear the Lord, and the warnings from the Spirit of God came and brought deliverance. That the purpose of God could be fulfilled. That the prophetic promises could be brought to pass. But they had to be delivered out from the evil to continue on.